This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Hollis Spencer, the editor and founder of The Hook online at readthehook.com, joins me live in studio to discuss this week's issue. And the first thing I want to say, I said it before when you came in, but I've been reading your work for a long time, and I told you this on the phone today. This is one of the best things you've ever written. And I know there were other people involved. This is how we do it today in the newspaper business. Anybody that's involved or helped throw a quote in there or did some research, everybody's name goes on there. And there's a team of people that put this together that we want to congratulate. But this is really one of the best, arguably one of the very best stories that has been in The Hook, and one of the very best you've written. It really is something.
Well, thanks very much, Coy.
It made me late to work the other morning because I started it over my cottage cheese and peaches, and I was sitting there just, I couldn't put it down.
Really?
Really. It was really, really an incredible story.
Have we said what it's about?
We have not. Why don't we tell folks what it is?
Well, it's about an accident that occurred 25 years ago in which 64 young men put themselves in the back of a U-Haul rented truck for a 1 hour, what was supposed to be an hour or so long ride down from Charlottesville to Lynchburg, and they never got there.
And this whole idea of you know, fraternity brothers at UVA back in the 70s and early 80s jumping into a rented truck with, you know, couches and benches and kegs, and that was not a new idea. This was not a one-time thing.
No, it was actually a pretty standard procedure. It was any road trip was called a roll back then. Some fraternities would caravan with cars. Other fraternities found that there was actually great camaraderie and festivity in piling in together. And part of it was economy. It was not very expensive to rent a truck like that. They could be had for under $50. Part of it was also, surprisingly enough, given the outcome or the events of that night, was safety. The idea being that one vehicle, one driver, one designated driver meant that there was less opportunity to have a terrible wreck. And indeed, not long before this wreck, just a few weeks, there had been a horrible accident up in the Shenandoah Valley where four students were killed, three from VMI, one from Randolph-Macon Women's College, in a single vehicle accident. So there was certainly knowledge that traveling, road tripping by car had its own dangers.
So how many, Hall Spencer from The Hook, how many kids now got into that U-Haul?
64 in the back, two in the cab.
So take us there, like you do in your story. Just take us there that night. All these guys piling in. They're
sure.
Going down to party with these young women at Randolph-Macon. They're looking forward to the night.
Right. It was a warm day. The temperature had topped out at 75. It was October 6th, 1982. And they met up at the Sigma Chi House on Preston Place, which, if you know the Grady Avenue area, it's just right off of Grady, near those big Preston Place apartments. So they met up over tacos at the fraternity house, and they were a mixture of fraternity men and rushees, first and second year students primarily, who were being courted by the fraternity to have some fun and go down the road to Randolph-Macon Women's College. The party was at a house called the Pines. This was about 4 years after the release of the movie Animal House, which, of course, is the epitome of fraternity rowdiness. But in this case, the fraternity Sigma Chi was not known at all for being rowdy. And in fact, they had a mixture of student leaders and intellectuals. This is what occurred. They met at the fraternity. They got moving at about 8:30, and they...
I thought, you know, it was interesting that you write in your story that it was sort of common, you know, this renting a truck and road tripping or rolling down the road was common, and that it would get so hot in the back that it was also common that if somebody in the back banged on the wall, you knew to pull over because they needed a break. It was getting too hot.
That's right.
So familiar were they with getting hot on these road trips that they had a separate garbage can to hold their shirts.
That's right.
They would take their shirts off rather than sweating in them.
Yeah. When the accident occurred, they had three trash cans, and by the time of the wreck, one was filled with shirts, One was still filled with ice and a little bit of beer, and one was filled with empty beer cans. And so, yeah, it was hot. It just, they were, you know, windowless space. Who knows what the temperature was like in there. And it was so tight. We're talking about a space that's 7 feet wide by about 20 feet long, that each person has, you know, like 2 point some feet of square feet of space per person. So it's really, you know, you can't relax and lean and sit down or anything like that. So most everybody's standing. Some people are even standing on the benches that they had lined the sides with. And investigators would later focus on that elevated center of gravity that may have precipitated the crash.
We're talking with Hawes Spencer of The Hook about the cover story in this week's issue. So they almost make it down there, right? It's a pretty uneventful trip almost all the way to Lynchburg.
Yeah, if you go to Lynchburg, you probably now take a much more modern bypass. Back then, the bypass that just opened in the past year or two wasn't there. And you'd get on what was called 29 Business, also known as Amherst Highway. And that's the road that leads you into downtown Lynchburg, in the 5th Street area, right? I guess the landmark for me is the Texas Inn, which is kind of a cool 24-hour, diner right there at the bridge. It used to be called the Williams Viaduct. It's now been replaced by a bridge called the John Lynch Memorial Bridge. Anyway, on the outskirts of Lynchburg is the James River, and that's the dividing line between Lynchburg and the area called Madison Heights. And so the road is mostly in that area, pretty gentle turns. It's about 5 lanes wide. There's a lot of businesses and a lot of bright lights. And then all of a sudden the road narrows and it's hemmed in by trees. So you can't really see what's coming up so well. And as you dip into the James River Basin, the road is pretty steep, about a 5% grade.
So the road dips there and then turns really sharply to the right as you're headed into town.
It does. It's
This truck is coming down the road. The driver actually, they had just changed drivers, right?
They changed drivers at some point, I guess at that restroom break. And the new driver was dealing with a truck that was carrying double its rated weight. So he would later tell investigators that he was having trouble keeping the speed down, that it was sort of getting away from him, that the steering was feeling kind of loose. The truck was analyzed after the crash, and there wasn't anything wrong with the steering, but anytime you put 11,000 pounds of humans in a vehicle that's made for 6,500 pounds of furniture, you've got a problem.
So that truck was carrying almost twice its limit.
Oh, twice. Almost twice.
Yeah.
Twice. You're right. Almost twice.
And the guys were sort of elevated in the back of the truck. I mean, they weren't...
Yeah.
They were sitting. They were really just crammed in there.
Crammed in.
So
and singing and laughing and having a good old time.
Not aware at all of what's going on the outside.
They couldn't see.
Yeah.
No windows, yeah.
So they're heading down. And again, this is October of 1982. They're headed down into Lynchburg to go to Randolph-Macon and Party. They go down this road. The road narrows. The road dips. And then what happens?
So there's a wide left turn, and they took that okay. And then they were probably about anywhere between 5 and 10 miles an hour above the posted speed limit of 35 when there's a very sharp right turn. It's about a 90-degree turn. And about a week ago, I was down in Lynchburg, and I was talking to a lady who lives in the house whose occupants had called in the accident 25 years ago. And the lady in that house was telling me that a friend of hers was killed on that very same turn about 7 years ago, and in a very gruesome accident. So it's clearly not a curve that's a stranger to danger.
Right, right. So this U-Haul carrying, you know, nearly 70 UVA students goes down this road. The whole lot of bunch of drunk college students in the back with no window.
That's right. And so what was going on was the students who were standing on the benches and even those who were standing on the floor were holding themselves up with their palms on the ceiling or on the sides of the cargo hold, whatever they could brace themselves with. And one of the students actually gave an interview just 6 days after the accident, or it was published 6 days after the accident, which he contended, and there's really not much to suggest that his is not the view that kind of explains it, which is they'd gotten tired of holding their hands up above their heads. They were weary. The National Transportation Safety Board got involved really because there was a big political furor at the time over an accident of this magnitude, because the NTSB is usually known for studying, you know, like, aren't they the people who study plane crashes?
Yeah.
So they're studying this private vehicle crash. They never did release their report. They never did finalize it. And their 2 or 3 page release that they put out that's the following summer was really sort of embarrassing because it was accompanied by public bickering among national NTSB members. And moreover, it really kept talking about drinking. And at the time, the driver did have some alcohol in his body, but it was a legal amount. It was 0.8 through a breathalyzer, which is not official. That's not like a blood test, which is more accurate. And it talked about the driver having being sleep deprived, but instead of focusing on driver fatigue, there's certainly the suggestion that they might have focused more on overloading the vehicle in the first place, and on passenger fatigue, because as you and I were talking about a moment ago, this one student gave this interview in which he said, you know, we were tired, we stopped bracing ourselves with our hands
on curves,
and moreover, again, they're in a windowless space, they can't see, they have no idea that they're about to hit this sharp curve,
they can't anticipate it at all.
That's right, and the driver up front, it's a really tense scene. He sees this curve. He knows he's braking. He's downshifting. They felt the downshifting in the back, but they didn't know what was going on. But he can't apparently keep it under speed. And normally at that point, you would brake a little bit to your. It's a right turn. You could swing into the lane and then absorb some of the energy. Take a wide turn. But all of a sudden, there's a VW bug in the other direction. So he sees those headlights, and his one escape route has been cut off. So he's fighting to stay in his lane, and he's cutting the wheel hard. And there's as that energy in the back, as those people step to the left and move to the left,
instead of holding on like they had been,
instead of holding on,
everybody just sort of fell to the left of the truck.
That's right. There's this transfer of energy. There's people hitting that left wall physically, and boom, over it goes, and it just tips over on its left side, slides down the highway, right into the path of the VW, and the two vehicles are joined, and they slide 94 feet together.
The VW really runs right into what is the roof of the U-Haul truck laying on its side.
Runs right into
those kids.
That's right. It pretty much instantly kills one student and critically injures at least half a dozen others. We spoke with one who's really never recovered to this day. And
well, let's take a break.
Sure.
We want to take a break for some local news, and then when we get back, let's talk about exactly what happened to these kids. Hawes Spencer of The Hook joins us live in studio. We're talking about this week's cover story. So it was October 6, 1982, UVA, Sigma Chi, rents a U-Haul to go party at Randolph-Macon. They're driving down the road. They're almost to Lynchburg. They go into a turn. The truck flips on its side, and a VW bug slams right into the roof. And then what happens?
Then the driver and the other person up in the cab rush out to go check on the guys out in the back. And it's got one of those roll up doors, you know, how those things are.
Yeah.
And because the vehicle's damaged, they can only get it open about 20 inches. So there's 64 guys in there, all but 11 of which are injured. And they can't get to them quickly. And there's people in pain. There's people, they're bleeding. There's horrible injuries. I mean, multiple compound fractures, internal injuries, head injuries, blunt trauma.
God.
I mean, lacerations, incisions, you name it. We had one poignant story from a fellow who lost his eye in the accident. And he's now the director of guidance for a high school in Danville. But in some ways, it brought positive change to his life. He learned a lot from being helped by other people about helping other people, and kind of reoriented his life into the guidance field. And so there's a real nice story about that. I mean, other people weren't so lucky.
Two of them died,
Two died. One died at the scene, and another died 2 days later.
Now, were those two sitting right near where the car came in?
They were sitting on the left side, so one can kind of, if you see the diagrams in the paper, one can kind of get an understanding of how they might have been thrown into the path of the VW, which then knifed into the cargo hold. And yeah. And I mean, then that VW did knife in. It was, the bumper was really sitting on top of one of the guys after the accident.
And the driver of the VW?
He broke both arms, but he recovered. And I talked to his grandson. That man is now 83 years old, still lives in Lynchburg, still drives VW Bugs, has two of them, the grandson says.
My gosh.
But he...
Wow. So some of these people now who were in that truck that night, still injured. One of them, of course, a really, really touching part of the story that you wrote. This guy is still living in Richmond and still dealing with these injuries. I mean, it really crippled him for life.
Oh, the driver you're talking about?
No, or the guy who had the head injury.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that guy in Richmond. Yeah, interestingly, there's a lot of guys from Richmond involved in this. And yeah, the one who has the brain injuries, he became a diabetic. He has short and long-term memory issues. He can't hold a job. And he has a guide dog to kind of help him around because...
He still walks with a cane, yeah.
Yeah. Another guy in Richmond who's suffered in all this is the driver. Because it's really, there's some poignant parts of this piece where, you know, the driver was tapped to do the driving because he was the most responsible person in the fraternity. Unlike everybody else, he really wasn't slamming beers. He did have, by his admission, a bourbon and Coke and a beer. And you know, it's debatable whether that affected the wreck. But interestingly enough, the people we talked to a man, spoke very highly of him because most of these folks view it as a truck overloading and a dumb idea in general, which everyone just sort of did at that time. Even the dean of students at the time knew about the practice. But as I said earlier, it was viewed as not an insane practice for a variety of reasons.
Yeah. But this was 1982, Ronald Reagan, Just Say No, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Federal government got involved in this accident.
This thing fell right into the lap of the neo-prohibitionists. This accident no longer became about gravity and physics and centrifugal force and passenger fatigue. All of a sudden, it was all about the drinking. And you rightly invoke the era. You know, this was Ronald Reagan who had the Meese Commission on Pornography. This is Ronald Reagan who had his wife saying, "Just Say No." This is Ronald Reagan who formed a commission on drunk driving. And then, even though he was supposed to be the sort of states' rights president, he then told every state, you either raise your drinking age to 21 or we cut off all your highway funds. So, yeah, it was a very different climate. And this accident played right into the hands of people who didn't like drinking.
Yeah, yeah. And so the next thing you know, one of the immediate results at the University of Virginia is Easters is gone.
Right. I mean, Easters, as you've written in your books, or your book on the history of the corner, most famously, I guess, have you said it wasn't Woodstock, but it was the next best thing.
Yeah.
And I remembered you figured that there were like, what, 15,000 people in Mad Bowl.
Was it 1976? Was the peak of Easter's? That's when it was at its greatest peak as a party.
Right.
It still existed after that, but sort of started to peter out. And then, yeah. But after this accident in '82, that's when the administration came down and said.
That's right. And we should backtrack. Easter's, of course, was this huge party UVA held where all the fraternities got together and the university just basically let things slide and people literally slid down the sides of Mad Bowl on Rugby Road and they turned on fire hoses and it just became like Mad Bowl became Mud Bowl and there were all kinds of crazy things going on with cars getting pelted by mud and people
burning cars,
yeah. Drunk people, naked people come into UVA from all over, not just students, but various hangers-on and slackers showing up here. And yeah, 1 month after this accident, one of the
Dean Canterbury,
Dean of Students, said, we're going to recommend that Easter's be stopped. And sure enough, it was stopped.
And that's when, after that was Van Riper's. Became a popular Easter springtime party.
Yeah. Corin Capshaw spotted an opportunity, huh?
Yeah. And that was really popular for a while. And
now it's Foxfield.
And Foxfield took its place as the big springtime festival that University of Virginia
students.
Yeah,
it's weird. They always are yelling about Foxfield as if it's like some bacchanalian madhouse, but they never saw Easter's. They don't know a bacchanalian madhouse is.
nothing compared to Easter's. Hoss Spencer is the founder and editor of The Hook. The cover story is in this week's issue. You can read the whole thing for yourself. It's an incredible story, and I recommend that you pick it up and read it. Thanks, Hoss, for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Coy.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.